something.
Two things. Can I actually get someone to give me a hand to move this table over here? Because I'm not allowed to lift things at the moment.
Awesome. Now, Simon had a bit of a medical incident and surgery recently, and so it's wonderful that he's been able to come along this afternoon to share. So it'd be great to pray for him as he gets organised and settled. Wonderful. We're good to go. Why don't we reach out towards him in faith and bless our brother Simon. Lord, we thank you for Simon. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your presence in us. Ask, Holy Spirit, would you just come upon him afresh, fill and refresh, bring your healing and wholeness in every way. May your joy be his strength, Lord, as he comes to bring your word to us today. Lord, may it hit our hearts as it's meant to. Holy Spirit, would you enable our hearts? May we be in sync with you and flow with you to receive all that you have for us today. And we give you thanks that you are so generous and good toward us for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It is good to be back. All right. So we're bringing our year of series all about building and starting to draw that to a close over the next couple of weeks. So this afternoon I'll be having a bit of a look at kind of like how do we know that we're building rightly, or I'd probably say it more like, how do we know that we are in sync with God's building project? I think the wrong slides come through too. So that's all right. You have to pretend we're in a different verse, but we'll read it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So I want to read to you a short passage from John chapter 7 first. This is from verse 37, it's Jesus speaking. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, as Maria mentioned, I've had a bit of a medical adventure over the last couple of weeks. What started out as what I thought was just indigestion ended up with a trip to emergency and discovering that I had an infection on the inside. I had an infected gallbladder. And two things immediately happened. The first was that they put me on antibiotics to remove the infection. And then they put me on fluids to hydrate me because the infection had made my body really dehydrated. And I was just reflecting on that, and it makes me think a little bit about salvation, where, we need, the infection that we have, the effects of sin to be cleaned out, which is what Jesus did in his death and resurrection. But then we also need the hydrating of Holy Spirit put into us. And, sometimes what happens is we get that infilling, that hydrating of Holy Spirit, and it stops there. And look, it is good for us to get Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is good for me on its own. But it's not meant to stop there. So before I get too far down that track, I thought what I might do, since we've come to the end of the year, I'm going to do a little bit of a recap of what this whole building project that God has is all about and sit this thing in its context. So if we rewind right back to the start of the year, we started out talking about Genesis, which was the beginning of God's building project. And we saw that when God made the Garden of Eden, that was a type of a temple. It had the four rivers. It had precious stones that were alongside the rivers. We had the garden, and we had people to work it and keep it, or to tend it and guard it. And we're going to see those things through all the different temples, and they will be important as we move along. So we've got the rivers, we've got the precious stones, we've got the garden, and we've got people. As we move through the Old Testament, we find out that this temple thing is actually God's end game. It's the whole big plan. We see that in Isaiah and in Ezekiel, where it talks about the final temples, the temple that fills the earth, the place where heaven and earth finally meet forever. And we see those same elements there of the garden, the river, the precious stones, and God's people. And then Jesus comes along and he says, "We'll destroy this temple," and it was talking about himself, his body, "and in 3 days I will rebuild it." So what he's done is he's now taken the Old Testament concept of a temple and connected it with people. Right? Because Jesus came, he was, God incarnate. He was, but as one of us. He came as us so that, we could be reborn like him. He'll be the firstborn among many brethren. And then we get to Peter and Paul and find out that actually it's not just Jesus, but we are living stones being built into a temple. And Paul warns us and says, don't take care how you build with that temple. It matters. And in the end, in Revelation, we find out there's no more need for any temple because God is the temple, fully present with people, because that's the point. God with us. And we find in that final temple in Revelation, that final or picture of the what replaces the temple, we have the same elements. We have the garden, we have the river, we have the precious stones. And we have people reigning. So I think it's worth reading that. If you've got your Bible there, let's jump to Revelation 22. And it talks about the angel shows John the river of life. There's that river. And there's the fruit either side of the river, the leaves for the healing of the nations. It says, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." That's unexpected, I think. I think we're almost expecting to say, "and God will reign forever and ever." But it says, "and they will reign forever and ever." The people is God's people. Because that was how it was set up from the beginning. God, his temple, connected with people, and people to spread his goodness through the earth. So that vision that was seeded in Genesis has come to fruition. So, if that's God's big project, right, God's plan for the earth, for us and him, so how do we connect with that on a day-to-day basis? Big vision, right? And how do we know that we are on track? And this is where the river comes in. You see, the thing about the temple is that it doesn't do a lot on its own, right? A temple on its own is just a structure put there. And it's a good structure, right? It's the connection between heaven and earth, which is great. But God's heart is bigger than that. You see, because God's building project isn't about making a monument to himself. It's about bringing life and love and blessing through the whole world. You know, back to my, hospital and IV fluids, right? So when I was in the emergency section, they hooked me up to the IV fluid so it could, flow into my arm and rehydrate me. And at a certain point, they had to move me off the emergency ward to a normal ward. And so when they moved me, they didn't disconnect it all. They just unhooked it and put the IV fluids in the bag next to me on the bed and wheeled me over. Now, I had what I needed, right? I had the fluids. I had the hydrating power of the Spirit, if you want to push the metaphor. But it wasn't doing me any good just sitting next to me. It's got to flow. And so the active ingredient in how God's temple affects the world is the river that flows out from the temple. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then he says, he says he was talking about the Spirit. So we know it means us, and the Spirit in us is a river flowing. So let me just join some dots here, and then we'll start to make it a bit more practical. So remember that we are God's building project. All right? We are the temple in this age, the place where his Spirit dwells. We are the connection between heaven and earth. And the temple is meant to bring life, true abundant life and healing to the world. And the river, which Jesus says is the Spirit, is how God's blessing flows from the temple to the world. And the Spirit was released to us at Pentecost and now dwells in every person who says yes to Jesus. So, to join all that together, as we walk in the power of the Spirit, we release the river of God's blessing and healing and abundance wherever we go. That's who we are meant to be in the world. That's how we walk with God and take part in his building project. So, if you believe in Jesus, you have rivers of living water in here. Did you know that? You have rivers of living water in here. You might feel dry sometimes, but what God says is that you have rivers of living water in here. Now, to understand these rivers of living water, we've got to go back to what Jesus was referring to. Remember, he said, as the scripture says, and it's a bit of an oblique reference, and people have different opinions on what it's referring to. But I think the one that makes most sense is Ezekiel 47. So if you're following along, let's turn there. This is a bit of a longer section, it's 12 verses, but I want to read the whole bit so you can get the picture of it. It's a beautiful picture. So to set the scene, for the last six chapters, Ezekiel's been talking about the structure of this new temple and what it looks like in, you know, prophetic pictorial language. Then he gets to chapter 47. It says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me round on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east, and behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea. From En-Gedi to En-Gleim, it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." So, what did you notice about this river? It gets deeper the further out it goes. It makes the salt water fresh. It brings abundance and provision. There are swamps and marshes where the river won't flow, but there is fruitfulness every month of the year. The flow never dries up, and it brings healing. You see, the thing about the Spirit is that it's not something that we're meant to just receive and keep for ourselves. Now, like I said at the start, we do need the Spirit for ourselves. You know, it's the Spirit that brings transformation in our own hearts, and we need that. But God is all about life multiplying, life begetting life. You know, I used to think that river was, it was about how deep am I willing to go? You know, will I go in up to my ankles, or like, you know, go in a bit deeper? But I don't think that's really the point. As I think about it further, I think it's more about, you know, when I think about, you know, if I join that with what Jesus said about the river being in me flowing out, I think it's more about how much am I willing for God to use me? You know, will I let him be a little stream through me, or will I let him be a roaring river? It's metaphorical language, so we need ways to connect it with our, you know, with ourselves. And so I think an easy way to think about about this, because we're thinking about, you know, receiving the Spirit of God and allowing that him to flow through us, is to think about, well, what have I received? Have you received forgiveness? Well, then forgive those who hurt you. Have you received healing? Go and lay hands on someone for healing. Have you received a word of encouragement? Go and encourage someone. Have you received hospitality? Be hospitable to someone else. And that's not meant to be limiting, right? I'm not saying you can only pray for healing if you've been healed. It's just an easy, practical way to help us think about Holy Spirit flowing through us and what, you know, life is meant to look like as we partner with God. You know, because if you have Holy Spirit, right, you have all the goodness of God in here, just waiting to flow out. If I think about, you know, some recent ways I've seen the river of God flowing out of people, you know, it looks like, you know, To and Chris visiting me in hospital to bring a word of encouragement and pray with me. You know, I think it looks like the young people rearranging their time and gathering around someone who's recently had a big tragedy. It looks like a person at the recent Vineyard conference that we saw being healed from a long-term back issue after some words of knowledge and a group gathering around him to pray. But, you know, sometimes, and, you know, for various reasons, we can go into ourselves, can't we, and not want to put ourselves out there. Sometimes we get too tired and busy, or sometimes we get hurt, and the river just doesn't seem to flow like we know it should. You know, swamps and marshes that passage talks about, swamps and marshes form when water flows into a place but doesn't flow out. It starts out as a marsh. You know, it can still look quite nice. You got the water and the trees and it's quite nice. But, you know, as the trees and the plants start to die off and the leaves fall down into the water stagnates and the area becomes a swamp, you know, where not much grows, and the upper layers of the ground and the water there become oxygen deficient. If we allow things to stagnate in us, you know, and that could be things like, you know, someone hurts us and we just can't quite get to forgive them. Becomes a place of stagnation. Or we, you know, we get angry and we can't let go of our anger. You know, we might put some Christian language around it and say we're frustrated. Sounds a bit nicer than angry, but it's really the same thing. And if we allow those things to stay there, the river doesn't flow, and where there should be life becomes a dead place. And it doesn't feed the area around us as the river is meant to. So it's really important that we think about our lives and how we keep that river flowing. And so I want to spend our last little bit of time here looking at how we cultivate, it's a good word, cultivate, because we're talking about, you know, gardens and temples, how we cultivate our souls to be places where the river can flow. You know, right back in the garden, Adam and Eve were given the job to tend and guard the garden. Your translation might say it slightly differently, but that's the implication, tend and guard. And it was a pointer to the temple, right? Because that was a priestly function, and this followed through later on in the New Testament when the temple was built. And the priests were given the charge to tend and guard the temple. So likewise, we need to tend and guard our temples, our hearts. Someone let Ray in. Yes. Thanks. So if we think about, you know, guarding, what do we let in? You know, do we let in bitterness, unforgiveness? Or do we let in life and wholeness? You know, shalom that we talked about a few weeks ago, that peace. Do we guard against idols taking root? And tending takes some, you know, intentional care of our lives. It's, you know, we get so busy that we forget sometimes that we need to be intentional about looking after our souls. In our life group over the last couple of months, we've been working our way through this. This is John Mark Comer's Practicing the Way book and course. And a number of us have found it to be quite transformative so far. We're not done yet. And what it is, it's a book and a course that aims to lead Christians to be good disciples of Jesus, right? We know we're meant to be disciples, or apprentices is the word he likes to use. And it's the Christian basics, right? By spending time with Jesus so that we become like him and do what he did. And it's all around. It's not just trying to do stuff, but it's developing a healthy rhythm of life with God. And as we develop a healthy rhythm, that's how we guard our hearts, we tend our gardens. And it's all built around copying Jesus' rhythm. Right, if you have a look at how Jesus lived his life, there was always a retreat and then a going out. A retreat to spend time with the Father. So that's receiving, right? The infilling of Holy Spirit. And then the going out to minister. That's the flowing out of the river. There's a lot of places where it says he would take time out to go up the mountain to be alone. And then the next morning he'd be out, you know, feeding the 5,000. And as we look at Jesus' life, we see that, you know, the river was pretty clearly flowing through Jesus. Right? Everywhere he went, people were healed, or, you know, the lost were given identity and meaning and purpose and value. There was hospitality. We see the goodness of God spreading, like the river in Ezekiel. And it was all built on this foundation of relationship and time with God. Now, truth be told, I actually found this pretty difficult, not to understand or even to desire, but I was just too busy. You know, I told the guys this at our last meeting this week. So I've been really enjoying the course that we've been doing. I love the concepts. Don't we always love the concepts? And I just remember praying and just almost, you know, that kind of almost half complaint to God that, look, God, this is really good, but how do I do this? How do I get to a place of, you know, resetting my life, or, making the change so that things actually flow? And then I got sick and ended up having 2 weeks completely off work, totally inconvenient. You know, I've got a business to run, but I couldn't. I was, you know, on my back in a hospital with, you know, hooked up to IV things. I couldn't do anything. And everything was kind of okay. Like nothing really fell over. There's a few things to fix when I got back, but it wasn't, you know, things went on. So where I kind of felt that I had to stay busy and keep doing and didn't have time to stop. When it was forced on me, actually I did have time to stop and it was okay. And look, just to be clear, I'm not saying God made me sick, because I don't think that's right either. But God was in it. Like, he used that situation to reach me. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes it's almost like we just need to get over ourselves. Like, the world's okay without us for half an hour. You know, we trick ourselves into thinking, you know, if I don't do this, it's not okay. Well, it is okay. You know, maybe a job doesn't get done for, you know, half an hour or a day or 2 days. But if we put that time and actually spend time with Jesus, the other stuff will end up flowing much better. You know, I don't think we ever achieve what we think we need to achieve by just keeping ourselves busy and not finding time for Jesus. Might work for a little bit, and then we burn out with no river flowing out of us. So today, I just want you to remember that you have a river of life inside you. Remember that. You have a river of life inside you. And so my prayer is that Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us this afternoon and show us how he already has flowed through us in 2025. Because I guarantee he's been flowing through you more than you think. But also, looking ahead. Because we always need to like reflect back and look ahead. You don't want to get stuck. And I just pray that God will show us as well how he wants to flow, you know, further, deeper, stronger through us in the year ahead. Because that river gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So why don't you stand, and if I could ask the worship team to come back up. Let's just pray. So come, Holy Spirit. Would you just flow now into every place of our hearts? Would you flow into the places that have become stagnant and swampy, and just clean us out, Lord. Would you flow through us? Would you open up our hearts, open up our eyes to see what you're doing in our lives, how we matter in your kingdom, how we matter in your plan for the world. I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and just implant a vision in each person's heart of how you just want to flow more, how we can surrender our lives more and just get so much more back because we're present with you. Show us how we can make space in our lives for you and just allow your goodness to flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Simon. As we sing this song, let's give thanks for all that God does in and through us. Thank you, Lord.